In a few minutes, we'll go deeper on President-elect Trump's complaint about China's currency amid this new controversy over Taiwan. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. First, a vote in Italy that might have upended financial markets has not caused much volatility, at least in early trading in our time zones today. Italian voters overwhelmingly voted down some constitutional reforms, a measure that turned into a referendum on Italian political elites. The result casts new uncertainty onto struggling Italian banks, but while the Milan stock market was down about 1% mid-morning our time, the euro is actually up above $1.07. Lindsay Piegza is chief economist at the brokerage and investment firm Stifel Nicolaus.
We did see that a lot of polls going into the weekend's referendum vote did suggest that the no's had the majority ahead of time. So it could be that that was simply already priced in. Also, a no vote does offer further justification for the ECB to expand QE and continue with very supportive, very accommodative monetary policy. As we know, Italy is still moving through a lot of structural delicacies from a political standpoint, from a financial standpoint. Also, much like the Trump victory, anti-establishment is not necessarily viewed now as unfavorable for the economy. So I think a number of different reasons, any combination of which could be the reason why we do see such a positive reaction in the market, not only from a currency standpoint, but also from an equity standpoint.
Economist Lindsay Piegza. U.S.-China relations appear in flux after Donald Trump spoke highly of Taiwan after a phone call with its leader. Officials in mainland China did not take kindly to that public praise of what they regard as a breakaway province. But Mr. Trump doubled down after the controversy flared, suggesting over the weekend he doesn't need permission to talk to anyone, tweeting that China didn't ask permission before devaluing its currency. Note that China is not holding its currency down these days. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore has more.
Donald Trump is wrong when he says China is trying to make its goods cheaper than American goods by holding down its currency.
China is doing exactly the opposite of what he accuses China of doing.
Ishwar Prasad is a professor at Cornell University. China is intervening in currency markets, but it's actually making its currency and its exports more expensive than they would be, not cheaper.
What China is doing is, in fact, trying to prevent the currency's value from falling against the U.S. dollar. So if anything, China is doing the U.S. a favor.
Congress asked the Treasury Department in 2015 to come up with a system for determining which countries are currency manipulators and which are not. China doesn't meet the criteria in either direction, not for overvaluing, not for devaluing its currency. Robert Whitelaw is a professor at NYU. He says it might be tempting to think China is holding down its currency.
If you look over the last 2.5 years, it is the case that the Chinese yuan has depreciated against the dollar. So you say, oh, wait a minute, their currency is weaker, therefore they're manipulating the currency. But I think that's an incredibly confused and mistaken conclusion.
The dollar, says Whitelaw, has risen in value against just about all major currencies, including the yuan. It's not a China thing. It doesn't have anything to do with China. China's currency would be even lower if it weren't propping it up.
International trade policy is a game of chess. And I fear that President-elect Trump is a checkers player.
Richard Weiner is a partner at international trade law firm Sidley Austin. He says if Trump punishes China for something it's not doing, there could be real consequences.
Trading partners could retaliate domestically to affect U.S. exports into their market.
China could restrict imports of American goods and make things difficult for U.S. companies operating there. A trade war, many economists warn, could cause recession. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
The Trump cabinet is being stalked by the day. There are reports now that ExxonMobil's CEO Rex Tillerson is being considered for Secretary of State. Marketplace's Andy Euler is here with more. Andy, we've covered Mr. Tillerson before. What's on his resume?
Yeah, Tillerson has worked at Exxon since 1975. He's from Texas. He's led the world's biggest publicly traded company, oil company, for the past decade. Now, Exxon operates in more than 50 countries, so it's not like he's completely in the dark on public affairs, on foreign affairs, but he certainly doesn't have the traditional pedigree. Another interesting part of this is how heavily invested in Exxon he is. A lot of Tillerson's retirement package is tied to Exxon shares, so it would be basically impossible to recuse him himself from working with countries where Exxon has a stake, so it could get complicated if he were picked. Now, Trump has already met with Mitt Romney about the job and Rudy Giuliani, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, and retired General David Petraeus are also said to be on that Secretary of State shortlist.
Marketplace's Andy Euler, thank you. Authorities in Oakland, California still caution that the number of casualties could go significantly higher after a terrible concert fire Friday night. 36 people are known dead in an old warehouse that had been dubbed the Ghost Ship, a structure where some people were living, apparently, with makeshift electrical, gas, and plumbing lines. The investigation has only begun, but already there are discussions about Silicon Valley-driven real estate prices that pushed some residents into marginal structures. KQED reporter Sam Harnett joins us from Northern California. Sam, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I was just looking at San Francisco Chronicle, SF Gate. They were quoting, apparently, a former resident saying that they were paying $500 to $1,500 a month to live in that place. I mean, that's the cheap real estate?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, market rate in Oakland for a one-bedroom is $2,400, and market rate for a two-bedroom is around $3,100. So, you know, people are desperate for anywhere to live. And if you start hearing prices, you know, like $1,500 for a place to live, that's a pretty good deal in the Bay Area.
When real estate prices are so high, what do you do for struggling families? Where are they going to live? Where are artists and creative types? Where are they going to do what they need to do? And apparently what's happened here in Oakland is that some of these marginal structures have become inhabited.
Yeah, I think there's not really a great solution on the table. I mean, you're seeing gentrification. You're seeing families get pushed out. Oakland has seen massive change in the last decade for the first time in years. And this place, Fruitvale, it was on the BART line, which is the transportation network out here, and that made it ripe for gentrification. So you're seeing a lot of people move in, and the prices continue to go up, and there's not great places for people with families to live, and there's not great places for artists to have space to be creative and have a place to live.
KQED's Sam Harnett in Northern California. Sam, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.